the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, I just want everybody to know here on Tuesday morning, August 13th, 2019, my faith is getting stronger. It is not weakening. I'm not walking away from my faith. I'm not rejecting Jesus. It's going on everywhere, isn't it, folks? You look at what's going on. There's so much apostate religion out there. We've been trying to warn everyone who will give us an ear to listen. And so many things that you're seeing in the American Christian church aren't even Christian. And many of the people who are promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ aren't even saved themselves. Guy at Hillsong now has written all that beautiful music, right? Oh, we all bought all those records and we closed our eyes and we worshiped the Lord as he made us feel so good. Now we find out the dude wasn't even really a Christian, right? And this other guy, what was his name? Somebody helped me out. The one who was who wrote the book, I Passed on Dating, whatever the heck the name of that book was. He became a worldwide sensation because of a wonderful book. And now all of a sudden he's turned, his real heart's been exposed. He decides he's not really a Christian anymore. So much for that once saved, always saved stuff, huh, folks? Boy, oh boy, there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And we live in just unbelievable times. I find myself more and more isolated all the time. By that, I mean people are rushing so hard towards the world. They're just rushing. That's John 2, isn't it? John 2, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. And we've had a hard time, or are having a hard time in American Christianity in particular, realizing that you can't love the world and love the Lord. You can't love them both. You can't. And I believe there's a real separation coming, and it shakes me to my bones. The tranquility and peace that we have known for my whole life in the good old U.S. of A. is, boys and brothers and sisters, it's something's happening here, if you know what I'm talking about. I really believe that those who are not deeply anchored in their faith, there's two things are going to happen. Those who are not deeply anchored in their faith are going to they're going to perish. By perish, I don't mean die. I mean they're going to fall away. When we've sold Christianity as a life enhancement, life insurance policy. In other words, you come to Jesus and all of your problems will disappear and all your cares will be gone and you won't have, it'll just be greater than sweet honey wine. It's wrong. And then when things go bad, in fact, I could rattle off right now to you at least five or six people that I know who came to Christ, whatever that means. And then a short time after they came to Christ, trauma hit their lives and they were gone. Because they received a fake indoctrination, a fake, what's that when you get injected? Inoculation. They didn't get the real thing. They got a placebo. They had a placebo. They didn't get the real Holy Spirit. I was having a conversation with my plumber yesterday, who was amazing. I won't share his name, but if you need a plumber in the Central Ohio area, make sure you call Jody. Street preacher, man. He went out to, I would have never known it. He went out to a class, 4-day class with Ray Comfort to learn how to street preach. Right here in my backyard, my plumber. I couldn't get away from him yesterday, and he knows of me, but he doesn't know what I do. And I'm just going to tell you, they're all around us. The deep, deep Christians are all around us. And he said the same thing to me yesterday that I say to everybody. He said, I can't even find anybody to talk to. He said, I talk to Christians. They're the most shallow thinkers that you come across as a Christian. Very, very shallow in their thoughts. We look at everything that's going on with the whole Epstein thing. I said yesterday, and I'm a story and I'm sticking to it. this is a real watershed moment in American history, because for the first time, the left has to deal with conspiracy theories. You could not, I mean, folks, the whole story, any one of the Epstein stories, what, that the guards would work too many hours, he got taken out of suicide watch, the cameras weren't working, you pick any number of those things, you'd laugh at any of them. And this has all the elements in there, that he might be not really dead, might be a Mossad agent. All of these things are in the mix right now. And the left is having a very, very hard time dealing with it, because they're the ones, for the most part, they're the ones who have been perpetuating the hoaxes. And now the hoax is so big and so outlandish that no one can believe the story. There are things going on that are, we're going to look back on these days and say, man, you remember that? You remember that? I said it yesterday, the Kennedy assassination, 9-1-1, Oklahoma City, Waco. You just run down through them. Just run down through these things. We all know. When and why and where did our government become so secretive, and how did they get away with it? And because they've been so secretive, been able to get away with it, we are losing trust and confidence in all of our institutions, including the church. Why? The church also is full of unrepentant liars. People who don't do the right thing simply because they're not led by the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand, not really. They don't understand the depth of the deception around them. And we are in the midst of it, boys. We are really, really dead in the midst of it. Now, I don't know if Bill Barr is a good guy or not. I don't know. We're about to find out. Because the connections to this pedophile, I dare say it, tomorrow, don't miss tomorrow. I'm going to pull this up real quickly, although I have to figure out how I show these things on the camera and it doesn't appear backwards like it does right now. Ron Bueller is going to be with us tomorrow. So what? He's Ron
Bueller. It's good on our end, Coach. We can see it, right?
Ron Bueller. I ran into him at Go Ye Therefore Conference with Mike Spaulding, and he's gave me his book, How to Do Spirit Cooking. And he's done great research into spirit cooking and Maria Abramovich and Hillary Clinton, and tomorrow he's going to be in here and he's going to expose us to what really, this stuff is real. Real. The spirit cooking in here. You know what three things you need when you do spirit cooking? Menstrual blood. Hey, folks, this is real. Ron Bueller is going to talk about this tomorrow. Menstrual blood, semen, and breast milk. And then they mix it and drink it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday I was preaching
tomorrow, Ron Bueller. All right. Go ahead, Vic.
I was preaching to two cops yesterday. And they both, you know, they depict how people are. So one of them was a Catholic active, and that guy wouldn't even take the card. So long story short, I prayed for him. I'm leaving. And then he says, I will accept the card. So he took the card. He reproved me. He told me that I should be ashamed of myself for being hypocritical and trying to mix politics and religion. That's the first guy. The second guy I talked to,
probably a Hillary voter Democrat, be my guess. Go ahead. Most Catholics are. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So then the second one, I don't know what religion he is, but the very first thing he tells me, says, sir, you're preaching to the choir. So we know this guy's all in, you know. He takes my card, no problem. He listens to everything that I say. I still pray over him. And, you know, but here is an example of where the cops are at. So we're looking like at a 50-50 mix. And it may settle up in different fashions, but it's not there's 50/50. Half and half.
I hear you, Vic. It's not 50-50. I don't think it is. I really don't think it is. I think they're greatly deceived. Speaking of cops, Chad Estes. Congratulations to Chad, 25-year award he got yesterday. I think he got it yesterday. 25 years he's been a cop. They did a nice little ceremony, gave him a plaque and all that kind of stuff. And we love you, Chad. And I say this, get out of there now, man. Get out of there. Find something else to do. You've done a good job. You got a pension. Get out of there. Go find something else. Pull up the calendar. Pull it up there for me real quickly. Man, a lot of good stuff happening. This weekend, here in Buckeye Lake, I texted back and forth with Mike Blake this morning. He's really the guy that's organized it. And those of you who came to All Hands on Deck know, you know, what beautiful place Mike Blake has. We have a solid, consistent rainstorm here this morning. One of those good soaking rains that's going to end here in about any minute now. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful prelude to what's going to be an awesome weekend because the weather is perfect. 82, 83, sunny. We're going to have ourselves quite a weekend. We want to invite as many of you as possible to come and be with us. Those who are close, if you're far and you want to come, you can come. That's all right. But I spoke with Mike today. He's heard from, he said, in the neighborhood of 25, I think he said, 25 people are coming to this huddle. And some of you are coming and you haven't let him know. So, you know, that makes a big difference from our perspective that if you're going to be part of it, there's this email down there, mblake8@columbus.rr.com. It's on the bottom there. Just let him know. Say, I'm coming, Mike. I'm coming. I'm bringing my wife and whatever so that we can plan for food and that kind of stuff. It's going to be a wonderful time. He said you can come anytime Friday afternoon if you want to. Coffee, donuts, fellowship, Sunday, Saturday morning, cookout Saturday between 1 and 2, followed by Coach Sharon with us. We're going to hit the streets. He's got we're going to go out and do one of those, stand on the corner and put some flags in the ground and hand out Equal Justice Tour cards. We've got a lot of good stuff going on, but some great, great fellowship. So that's this weekend, beginning Friday. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then you can get out of town. Mainly this is Central Ohio. But again, if you're coming, I know some guys are driving in. I know the Heaths are coming in. I know Mark Trump's coming in. I know some other surges coming in. So if you're coming in a long way, you're on your own as far as sleeping arrangements. Although if you bring a cot or a blow up, you can stay up at Sky High. You have places at Mike's place you can stay. You can stay in a tent, whatever. But you're on your own as far as reservations, as far as things. We're hoping, Jody was up yesterday. The plumber's up yesterday. We hope we'll have hot water, running showers, and everything up at Sky High if you want to be able to be part of that, okay? And then also next weekend, Chad's having a, please let Mike know if you're coming, all right? Say, well, he knows I'm coming. Does he? Let him know that you're coming, please. That's right there. Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Chad's having a huddle down there next weekend, the 25th through the, 23rd through the 25th. All of you, you know how Chad's huddles are. It'd be a great time to be a part of it and get down there and get some great fellowship going on there as well. We had a meeting yesterday. Scroll on down, Jared, if you would. We had a meeting yesterday about Branson. We had a meeting on the phone. This is just an Equal Justice Tour outreach, folks. That's really all we're doing. I don't know. Will we find an abortion clinic to go to? I don't know. I haven't even researched it that far. But there you can see the details. We're going to be in Branson, Missouri. We're going to be calling it a patriot outreach. We believe that the people in Branson, Missouri, those are the patriots. Those are the people that we're looking for. Those are the ones that we're going to win this this cultural battle with. So we're going to go and we're going to spend a couple days there handing out stuff, putting on a little bit of a program, some singing, some music, some speakers to try to draw people in to make them aware of what's going on in the country and that there is, in fact, opposition to it. And as I said yesterday, equal justice. It's all you hear it everywhere now. It is everywhere, especially with Epstein again, right? Epstein got a different type of justice. We want equal justice under the law. If we don't have equal justice, we're nothing more than just a banana republic, which I think we're rapidly becoming. Anything else on there, Jared, I need to cover real quickly? We have other stuff going on. Faith and Freedom Conference, September 28th. That's in Dr. John Diamond's putting that on in Edinburgh, PA. Love for you to come there. That's a one-day event. Then we have a scrimmage and huddle in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Down Mike and Polly are hosting one down there. There's a Billy Graham, Franklin Graham crusade going on. Not a crusade, but a Franklin Graham event. We'll be handing out literature there, yada, yada, yada. Great time to relax. See, when I go on these things, I get very little time to relax. Just truth. That's the truth. It's going to be a great time. Bring your wives. Bring your husbands, whatever. I mean, if you're married to a wife, don't bring a husband. No homosexual couples welcome. I guess that's the point I'm making. But come and relax. Spend a couple of days down there with us. And then the Montana Rimfire Conference. Leighton Howerton, Rob Hugh, putting that together out in Montana. Yeah, you heard me right. 25th through the 27th. We'd love for you to come. If you're looking for a vacation or, hey, Samia, clear up there in Minnesota, come and join us. Come and join us at the Montana Rim Conference, October 25th. We got a lot of stuff going on, man. And, again, some of you are welcome. Please stay today. I'm sorry. Stay this weekend afterwards and give us a couple of days work at Sky High. Good news today, Randy, who has loaned us, by the way, he hasn't given us, and I haven't asked him to give us, donated a skid steer to us. He's had it shipped to us. It is right. I got to get off the air right after the show's over because the skid steer will be waiting on me when I go out of the house today. That skid steer all the way from Oklahoma is being delivered this morning, and we're going to get that thing. We're going to get some work done. So a lot going on there, right? Tip of the cap. Thank you so much to Randy and anybody else that can do something like that. Loan us a piece of equipment for extended period of time. We're not asking you to donate it, but we sure could use it. Tree Limb Jim has done remarkable stuff up there without hardly any equipment at all. And Mark, you won't believe what he's done to that fence out front, how he's he can't believe it.
Well, I can't wait. Got a quick note, Coach. I'm going to make a list. Don Marshall and I spoke, and I think it's a good idea. Make a list of things we need, and we'll publish that so you guys will know. And if there's people you run across that have this or that we have on the list, maybe you could check on it for us, or God will put something in your path. So expect that later this week, okay?
Amen, Mark. And those of you staying up for a couple of days afterwards, everybody's going to get a chance. When you come this weekend, it will get a chance to tour the property and see what a magnificent thing that it is the Lord has put in our hands. And some of you can stay afterwards and give us a couple of days of labor. That'll be really, really good. We'll certainly be able to use you. And there's light at the end of the tunnel on this. And Mark Trump has brought real, real order to what's going on up there. And I can never thank him enough, because he doesn't have to do it, folks. He doesn't have to do it. He's made his own blueprints and ideas he's thrown around. I can't thank you enough for it. I want to cover this real quickly. Anybody, anything else before I dive into work? Golly, it's 7:18 already. Dr. Mike Spaulding had a great show last night. I want to always acknowledge that he's doing. And Larry, if you didn't see Larry Richardson's, I was going to pull it up here, Larry. I forgot to. The videos that he's, Larry, what's the name of that channel that you have? What do you call your channel, Larry? Is he even in here? Larry's
awesome. I'm calling it the Common Sense News.
The Common Sense News. And Larry's making short little videos. And Larry, you're doing a great job, man. Keep them at about 5 minutes, because people have short attention spans. And you're doing a really, really good job. And we thank you for the tip of the cap you gave us yesterday about Equal Justice Tour. And yes, folks, we do still have plans with that. We are still working on that. Just, man, just get out of here, bugs. Just a lot going on. I got to say this, okay? This one just really bugs me. Really bothers me. It's a dilemma. You're going to say, Coach, this is really stupid. Why are we talking about it? Because it bothers me, and I just want your opinion on it. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but here we go. I got to know this. How can churches give out book bags to send kids to public schools? Somebody help me with that. I'm just gonna pause for him. Somebody explain the logic to that one for me. It'd be like giving somebody LSD on the way to college.
Because they're all part of the same corporation, Coach.
What do you mean by that, brother?
The church is a 501c3 corporation. It's the same question you asked at the beginning of the show. How can this be? How can this be? Because we don't have a government, we have a corporation. The church has become just a subchapter of the United States Incorporated, and we've lost our government, which is why they don't even pay attention to any of the laws. They don't know the laws.
I would agree with that to a point. Now, hang on here a second. I know good churches. I know good pastors and good churches that are doing that. Can somebody explain to me, please, the logic of giving book bags to children who are getting on a yellow school bus to hell? Can somebody help me with that? The logic. Give me the logic.
Well, I don't think when you're talking logic, you're not talking very many ball fields. So few people employ logic in anything they do. Perceived reality is that public, government schools are good. That's the false reality, but that's the perceived reality.
Well, I think the perceived reality is, Larry, that we are blessing the children. Blessing them. By the way, if you have a young kid, what happened the last year's
scissors. Why do you have to buy a new pack of scissors for them? Didn't they have one last year? And you got to buy them a new compass. Do they even use compasses anymore? Got to buy them new pencils and new rulers and all that stuff. Really, I'm serious, folks. Say, Coach, oh, you just straining the gnat and swallow a camel. Well, I'm not. This is more than just a gnat to me. It shows the mentality that we are blessing children who are getting on a yellow school bus to hell and giving them book bags to help them become deceived. Am I too religious here? Somebody help me out. I don't want to camp on this all day, but somebody's got to say it. It's fallen to me to say it.
Coach, here's what I did for a few kids in my church. I gave them a Bible, some anointing oil. I did. Like, look, this is what y'all need to be bringing into school, and this is what I gave them, man. I gave them the goods. If you're going to go right into the pits of hell, you might as well go in armed.
That's why I love you, Dale. That's why I love you. You with me, folks? We got to start looking at this stuff and start calling this stuff out. Well, I find out again today, yesterday, I won't go into the details, that at our local school, I'm not going to say the name of the school because I'm going to firm it up, although I know it's true, that at our local school, when they went to the band camp, the four-day getaway band camp, let me pause for a second so anybody local doesn't get mad and throw rocks at me. One of the band members just tragically died, just had a heart condition, boom. Been sick for a while, just died. It's really grieving all the people in the community and certainly those in the band. So I don't mean to be this casting aspersions at them, the loss of this young man. I grieve with the parents. I don't know them, but I can only imagine what it'd be like. So they were at band camp for a day. It was supposed to be a four-day band camp, if I understand it. And one of the band members is a girl who identified as a boy. And you know what I'm going to say, right? They put her in the cabin with the boys. Did you hear what I said? They put her in the cabin with the boys. Now, I know the way that you've been trained in your brain to think, well, Coach, we can't discriminate against her. What about the boys? What about the boys having some chick in the room with them? They can't cut stinkers and tell dirty jokes and do whatever boys do in a cabin. They get some broad laying in there with them. Oh, yeah, but she thinks she's a boy. Well, so what? So what?
Hey, Coach.
Nobody barks. Nobody. You know what I could say? I could just say, I'm going to take my hands off it because my kids don't go to that school. And I'll just ignore it. It's going on. But it just, my wife is fit to be tied. My wife is fit to be tied. Can you imagine if you sent your 15-year-old child off to band camp and a girl stayed in the room with them? Go ahead, Vic.
What about when in 9 months, 9-10 months down the road, she turns up to be pregnant? Even though she thinks she's a boy, but physically she's a girl. And
Vic, let me tell you this. I don't care about her. She has no right to invade on other boys like that.
But that's the point. That's the point. In other words, why are you going to put two different sexes in the same room and expect the outcome to be different?
Because we're heading to co-ed camping. Co-ed camping's coming.
Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different outcome.
I think it is. This stuff ticks me off. I'm sorry it doesn't tick anybody else off. Say, where are you today, Coach? Where are you in the scriptures? Well, I want to start out with a video. Jared, it's the last one. It's the last one. Demons and deception. Demons and deception. Remember this, fellas. We're told to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. Thoughts become actions. Remember we spoke the other day about the lust of the flesh, the pride of the lust of the eye, the, let me get it again. The lust of the pride. Somebody get me going here. Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That everything you do begins as a visual image, for the most part. Visually, you see something, it creates a thought. You hear something, it creates a thought. You feel something, it creates a thought. You taste something, it becomes a thought. It would be interesting to do a scientific research and find out really what are thoughts and where do thoughts come from. Any ideas on that, Mark? What are thoughts, Mark, and where do they come from? And believe it or not, even back 30 years ago when I used to watch those horror movies, they talked about being able to read your mind. How can you read somebody's mind? And now we know we have artificial intelligence that literally reads your mind, reads your thoughts. Mark, can you extrapolate? That's a big word. I just read it.
Just a little. Not far, but machines can't create thought. That's intuition. Intuition is when you have physical environment and you have memories, and then you create something new out of it. So where does that something new come from? It doesn't come from memories. Remember, they're stored. They're old. So when you're faced with something and you have thought, it comes from a spirit. Mm. It comes from either a evil spirit or a good spirit. But I believe it comes from a spirit, Coach. I believe that our thought guides us. Our thought is what's out in front of memories. It's out in front of actions. And we got to will ourselves to think about it. We got to will ourselves to use our capacity to bring that thought to fruition, whether it's in our brain to piece together the outcome, or whether it's our body to physically bring it into fruition. But I think
Second Corinthians 10, Karma. Second Corinthians.
I think a spirit begins it, Coach. So we got to capture our thoughts and filter it through the word so that we know we're acting on good spirits.
Amen. So the influence, Mark, you're saying to me that some of these thoughts are literally planted in our mind. Now, that's a question of itself, right? How do you plant a thought? What is that? What is the process of that? Planting a thought. What's the genesis of a thought? Like I got up this morning and it was raining really hard this morning. Good steady rain, not thunder and lightning, just a good drenching steady rain. And we have a rubber hot tub. I got it for $310 from Coleman. I'll do them an advertisement. I've had it for a couple of years. They're just wonderful. A little blow up. It is wonderful. And sometimes I don't cover the hot tub securely enough. And so I woke up this morning. I'm telling you, the first thought I had this morning when I heard the rain was, well, did I cover the hot tub? Now, folks, what makes your brain do that? What makes your mind do that? And I was noticing this morning when I love my wife so much, the thought of going out on my wife never, ever enters my mind. Ever, ever, never, ever. And I was doing something this morning, and lo and behold, what comes across the thing? Why, there's a skimpy girl in a bikini. Because I had just searched previously for a flight to somewhere. And so here pops up this pop-up ad, and now all of a sudden on my screen is a thought. What's that thought? It's what my eyes saw. Boom. And I begin to look at what I saw. And if we don't understand what Mark just said, what said to us, that these thoughts, many of the thoughts that we're getting in our heads are really and truly planted thoughts. That's why I said 2 Corinthians 10. Did we get it up there? Is Connor working with us today, Jared? I just barked out his name. Just wanted to prove I remembered his name.
Yes, sir.
All right, Connor, you're doing a great job, buddy. Let's go to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, folks, listen to me. This doesn't mean that the battle isn't carnal, because the battle does become carnal. But the weapons of winning this battle are not carnal, because it begins in the mind, the thought. And for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. See, how about if we just said this? For the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. Take out that word not carnal. For the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. And they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? Pornography is a stronghold, a mindset, a way of thinking. If you say something, you're racist. If you do this, you're anti-Semitic. These are strongholds, casting down imaginations. I saw the picture of that girl came across real quickly, and all of a sudden I got imaginations. my carnal man has these imaginations because my eye saw it and I wanted to react to it, right? But I can't, because I have to cast down those imaginations and every high thing. Now, wait a minute. Why would they call it a high thing? Why is this thought a high thing? Because, see, it's come from a high area. It's come from some place that I don't even really understand. Through the eye gate or the ear gate. I got him, I think. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, that girl looks pretty. I'd like to do her. No, I'm not. No, I'm going to wash my mind with the water of the word. I'm going to be pure, right? Against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, don't let Martin Luther said you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you must stop them from building a nest in your hair. So when you take captive the thought, you don't let them build a nest. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things on the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him think of himself again, that is, as he is Christ. Even so, we are Christ. So we have to take captive every thought. So evidently, a lot of those thoughts are not coming from us.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, it's Todd.
Hey, Todd, good to hear you, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks. Hey, listen, just on what you're saying there, if you just think about this for a moment, right? So many people within the Bible have made the trip up to heaven and seen what has been up there. And during that trip, they had thoughts. They were a thinking person. So, you know, because we are physical beings in this world here, we're spiritual beings in a physical world. Mm-hmm. We kind of tend to think physically, and we think that thoughts are physical, but I would contend that thoughts are actually spiritual, but they manifest in a physical body that we currently have. Right. So when we say, hey, our thoughts are, you know, where these thoughts come from, they are spiritual. And because there are other spiritual beings other than us out there, it's entirely possible. And the Bible says it that because we are to capture every thought in obedience to Christ, not every thought is our own. Mm-hmm. So I contend that there are three sources of thought. We have our own thoughts that are spiritual, that come from ourselves. We have thoughts that come outside of ourselves, and that could be from the evil forces. And then we have thoughts from the Lord, and this is how the Holy Spirit can speak to us. And so those are the three sources, and it's up to us to contend which of these sources that we are dealing with every single thought.
So Todd, so when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear, that must tell us that there are other voices.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right? I love your description, Todd. Love your description. That's yep. Just above and beyond. Thank you.
And it comes as a voice. Jared, that would be Connor, that would be really good. Let's go to Webster's real quickly. Let's dig into this here a second. Webster's 1828.
And Coach, when you get done, the parallel scripture for that is James chapter 1, 12 through 15. It's declaring that God doesn't tempt man, but man is tempted when he is enticed by his own lusts.
Oh, we can go there. That's good, Dale. Voice. Put voice in there, Connor or Jared, whoever's doing it. What is a voice? A sound or audible noise uttered by the mouth, either of human beings or other animals. We say the voice of a man is loud and clear. Number two, any sound made by the breath as a trumpet's voice. So a sound does not necessarily have to be words, language, words, expression, scripture, command, a precept. After the still, it's a sound, a small, still voice. Language, tone, mode of expression. So to take captive every thought, or to my sheep hear my voice. They hear that sound. Not necessarily a voice. Let's take it a bit further. I want to ask you right now.
Coach. You
know, he's multilingual. Like Vic would be multilingual.
Coach, hang on.
I got it. Vic, hang on. Vic, do you think in English or Spanish?
Who?
You.
I think in God. It's a frequency, brother.
Yeah.
It's a frequency. This is a mark moment. It's about the spectrum. The spectrum of light. It's about frequency. Mm-hmm, when it drops in your heart, it you feel it, but does it mean that you don't hear it? I mean, that's how I hear them. It drops in my heart.
The point I'm making, Vic, is voice is not just the uttered word. It's not just the other word. A thought is a voice. That's why he said, take captive every thought. He could easily have said, take captive every voice. Take captive everything that speaks to you. Take captive. And what it means is you grab it and say, wait, good column or bad column? That's what we're all supposed to do. Because we know this, your thoughts become action. Amen. Bad thoughts lead to bad action. We have to take captive those. The Holy Spirit has given us the ability. You ever catch yourself saying, well, I'm not going to say that. That's taking captive every thought. We have to begin to do that. So we watch today what's going on with everything around us, the pedophilia and all that malarkey. And I came across this 5-minute video, which I thought was really pretty good. And Connor, if we have that ready, let's go ahead and play this. It's called Armed and Anchored, 4 Levels of Demonic Spirits. It's just 5 minutes, but I thought it was pretty good. Go ahead.
We want to teach you how to be armed and anchored, and you cannot be spiritually armed and spiritually anchored without knowing and understanding clearly the most important verse in the New Testament on demonic warfare as it relates to you as a believer. Let's look at it closely. Get your Bible. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, if you notice, the word against appears no less than 5 times. It's adversative in Greek. He wants you to know, the minute you start praying, the minute you start dreaming a vision for God, the minute you start living a life of Christian distinction, the minute you start pursuing personal purity in your life, the minute you want your marriage to be consecrated to God, the minute you want your family to be, as Jonathan Edwards said, a little church where the dad is a pastor, you are in spiritual warfare because Satan has come to kill and to steal and destroy. The enemy and those who work with him, known as demons, daemon, daemonian in Greek, it's plural. There's more than one. There are multitudes of demons in the world. But in this unique verse, they are divided in 4 levels of authority and diabolical intent to destroy the church, destroy nations, deceive government leaders. Let's come on in close. We do not wrestle. Now, the word wrestle in Greek or in English is from pale. Pale is totally different than just having a little mat where maybe you pin a wrestler. It means fight. It means hand-to-hand combat. In Paul's day, he was reflecting on the Isthmian Games there in Corinth. The wrestler who won was rewarded. The wrestler who lost, his eyes were gouged out. And so this wrestle is a moment-by-moment reality, and it is severe. We wrestle not against archaea, principalities. This is the first sect of demons. Archaea means beginning, first ones. It would give the ideal of preeminent ones. And so this is a legion of demons that have that first work of deception. Secondly, we have an interesting word Paul uses, exousia, powers. And do you remember that they said Jesus performed miracles through exousia? The word closest in our English vernacular would be authority. And so Jesus had authority. But remember, Ian Bound says that Satan tries to counterfeit the genuine to destroy the value of the truth or the art of imitation. Exousia would be demons who take authority over you through addictions, through enslavements of moral depravity, through depression. Exousia are a group of demons that know how to bind men and women through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Thirdly, we have the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's an interesting word because it is a word that talks about cosmo, the world, but then it's talking about rulers. These particular demons rule over different nations of the earth. Governments that reject Jesus Christ, that reject God. In one particular study, a scholar says that these are sophisticated, high-level demons working in a way that would bring entire nations under spiritual blindness and bondage. And then fourthly, Amen. We have the spiritual host of wickedness. And this is interesting. Spiritual host, pneumatica, the word we use for spirit in the New Testament, but poineria, it is a word about moral evil. In fact, it's only found here in the entire New Testament. And so as a believer, demons are arrayed against us. But let me remind you, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that through Jesus Christ, I have authority over the enemy. Colossians 1:13, he has triumphed over principalities and powers. Colossians 2:15, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus defeated Satan. He held him up. It's pictorial as a defeated foe. And if you're in Jesus Christ, you can say, Father, I am yours. I rebuke the devil. I resist him. I submit myself to you. And I ask you to cover me in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is peace in the middle of a very real spiritual battle. Now, our book, Christians and Demons, goes into much more detail. Be sure to.
All right there, Connor. So listen, I think this is important for me to, Holy Spirit just poked me in the chest. We like to spend a lot of our time, or we're taught in our churches, to rebuke the evil one, rebuke the devil, rebuke the devil. No, folks, here's the reality of it. You can rebuke if you want to. But when the devil's on an assignment, you're going to have to resist him. Going to have to resist him. I'm moving now day 10, I think. I haven't had any food in 10 days. I'm not bragging. Bible says if you're on a fast, don't tell anybody because you're losing all of what. So I'm not telling you to brag. I'm telling you that every minute of every day, I think about food. Every minute. Every minute, I think about food. But I'm resisting that urge. You understand the difference? I can't rebuke my hunger. I rebuke you, hunger, in the name of Jesus. No, it's a natural progression. It's a spiritual discipline. I resist the devil. Not that the devil is telling me to eat and God's saying, don't eat, but I am on a spiritual workout and I know that I have to not resist that hunger. I gotta conquer it. I have to get victory over it. And too many times we think this battle that we're in is spiritual and doesn't require any type of physical work to it. And it certainly does. So abortion, I don't just rebuke abortion. I resist it. I don't just rebuke homosexuality. I resist it.
Coach,
I think it's the resistance part of our faith that we're really lacking. Yeah, go ahead, Vic.
It's a defiance. You're defying what the devil is offering.
Amen.
You're resisting, but you're defying it.
Let's make it perfectly clear, Vic. It's not the devil. It's my carnal nature that wants to eat. It's my carnal nature.
Amen.
And I'm exercising my spirit man to say to my carnal man, you just sit there and shut up. I'll tell you. My spirit man will tell my carnal man when it's time to eat. I'm not going to let my carnal man tell my spirit man what to do. You follow me? That's the battle, see? That's the battle. 10 days. It's been 10 days. I know the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would just say to those of you out there who've never fasted, I thought I was going to die the first 2 days. Again, I've done this several times. I thought I was going to die. And I got to day three and some grace came. Grace. And every time I look at food, I want to eat it. And every time I smell it, I want to eat it. But my carnal man's not going to win. My spirit man, the Holy Spirit will release me and tell me when it's okay to eat. And again, the whole point I'm making, the idea of resist the devil, resist him, and he'll flee. There's no resistance. There's no resistance in the church. The devil is trying in our public schools. They are having young girls sleep in the same room with young boys, and there's no resistance. No resistance. My sweet little wife, Michelle, she fired off a letter or an email, something to some pastor down the street saying, aren't you going to do anything about it? Aren't you going to do it? Are you not going to protect the souls of the children? Are we not going to resist the devil? What would pastors and churches say? Well, Jesus is coming. I know, brother, that's just the sign of the times. Somebody else come on in here. Talk about resisting. Resisting.
James 4:7, coach, there's two parts. It's not just resisting. It says resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near unto God. James 4:7.
James 4. Let's go to James 4 there, Connor.
And about correcting devils, brother. You don't correct a devil because you can't correct them. It says you rebuke them or you resist them.
You don't correct the devil. You can rebuke him all you want. Sometimes you got to resist him, right? You can rebuke that spirit of addiction to the cigarette, but you got to throw the daggone thing down.
Cast him out. That's what the scripture says in Mark 16. He doesn't say resist. It says cast out devils. And in James 4:7, it says resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near unto God.
Let's start with verse 1 there, Connor. Man, this is some good stuff, isn't it? And the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. What would America
be? Coach, you know what you're doing in that fast, coach? You're drawing near to God. That's what's happening. And that's why those demons can come out, coach, is because you're feeding your inner spirit man. That's what you're doing. You're feeding manna to him. That's the food of God. Jesus said, I'm not here. I'm not here to die. What did he say? I forgot what I was going to say, but that's what's happening, coach. So that's a challenge to us and all of us. If we want to see things change, if we want to resist the devil, if we want to see demons leave in our homes, in our place, we have to do, let's go on a fast. I mean, that's why they called assemblies or the fasting, because that's what happens. I'm telling you, coach, this is great.
Randy, I went on that fast. Can I tell you why I went on that fast? Because I knew Sky High was bigger than me. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it, right? I can't do it. And I resisted the devil, and God's coming through. From whence?
Coach, it's not to bring God to us; it's to bring us into a presence of the Lord, so that we can see what to do, so we can see what He wants to do, to see His will. That's what it brings.
Randy, every time I hunger, I call out to the Lord. Every time. Every time I think of food, I think of Him. For 10 days. Every time I think of food, I think of Him. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Where do wars come from? Don't they come even of your lust, that war in your members? He's talking about a war within you, not warring against your brother. Wars come because there's a war inside us. You lust and you don't get it. You kill and you desire to have, but you can't have it. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Well, you ask, but you don't receive it because you're asking with the wrong motives. You ask the Lord for it because you just want to consume it upon your own lust. It's right there. It's right there. Folks, that is the modern American church. They ask amiss. They want to consume it on their own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You say, what do you mean by being a friend of the world? By not speaking up and saying, what's going on at Lakewood High School? I'm not speaking up against it. Why? Because I want to be a friend of the world. I want everybody to like me. I don't want them to hate that mean old pastor guy up there on Sky High. I want to be the world's friend. You think that scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Fasting will humble you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I'm purifying my heart, and I'm not as double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brothers. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. If you judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Now, judging in that situation means bring condemnation. Okay? Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes and brings judgment, when the Holy Spirit, condemnation, you have to understand, you have to learn to hear this different vibration, okay? Different voice. Condemnation is this. You dummy, how could you be so stupid to have done that? I told you that you wouldn't, you knew you were going to get in trouble and you didn't. You went out and did it anyway. That is condemnation. That's not from God. That's carnal, fleshly. Conviction is, coach, you know better than that. All the time that we've spent together and all that I've poured into your life, you know that you don't want to do that. That is conviction. Not condemnation, see. And so much of what we do, including me, is we condemn rather than convict. It's our job to convict. Amen. Amen. Somebody help me. That was good stuff right there, boys. That was good stuff. I'm going to say it again, not bragging. 10 days without food? Are you kidding me? 10 days? You think my tuning's not sharpened? You think it, ask my wife, you think I don't want to be isolated? You think I'm not quiet? You think I'm not introspective? I'm sitting around all the time craving to feed my physical body when my spiritual man is starving. Powerful man. I said to my wife, she said, how long are you going to go? And I said, I don't want to get off of it. She said, what do you mean? I said, because, there it is. Did I get him? Because when I fast again, I'm going to have to put in 10 days just to get where I am now. I want to see this thing through until the Holy Spirit releases me, until the Lord's good work is done inside me. Now, hear me. You don't get brownie points for fasting. You don't get brownie points. It's a spiritual workout. Running a marathon, a spiritual marathon. I'll know when I'm at the finish line because the Holy Spirit will tell me. And I may not get a crown for it. I may not get first place. I'm just going to try to finish my race. Somebody come on in here. I forgot that's something. Right. Listen. Yeah,
you mentioned quick. Earlier in James there, you read where it says you ask and you have not. You have not because you ask not and you ask amiss. Holy Spirit prompted me. Just look up that word amiss real quick from the Greek. And you know what the root of that word is? Worthlessness. Worthless. And so much time making worthless petitions to God because we're asking for what we want instead of asking for what his will is.
That's a modern evangelist church, isn't it, Larry? That's what it is. I told you Sunday morning I turned on a big church down. I won't even tell you where it was. I was watching it. I just couldn't even believe it. It was all I, me, touch me, feel me, serve me, thank me, on and on and on and on, full of carnality. The same type of carnality that caused that guy to leave was a Hillsong. Same kind of carnality that caused the Josh Peters to I left dating behind. That same carnality. Christ is not carnal. He's a spirit, man. Yes, I got to forget. I forgot to say this real quickly. Real quickly. We need some of you to come to help us at Branson. We're not going to listen. We're not going to do a lot of activism. We're going to fellowship, hand out cards. You just want a couple day vacation. Please, if you're out in that Oklahoma area or Missouri or around that, please come and help us. We need some assistance there. And contact us online and let us know that. I forgot to mention that at the beginning. Sorry to break the flow there. Go ahead. Somebody tried to come in.
Hey, Coach Todd, when he went up to Hilton Lakes up there in Dallas, when he went up there, he brought something that has always been in my mind and it keeps showing up over and over. Right now, Larry said it. And this is it. He came up and he said, I've submitted. And then he said, according to who? Because I think that's what the Lord put in his heart. It was according to the Lord or according to us?
Amen.
And that's the question that you have to ask yourself. And then Larry brings the amiss and he's saying, you know, all these petitions, they're worthless because according to who? The Lord, this is the one that guides and directs. These are the thoughts that are in your mind. This is what you have to test. You have to test all these thoughts. Mm-hmm. Are they yours or are they of God?
I surrender all. You know that song, right? I watched the jellyfish sing that. I surrender all to you, my precious Savior. I surrender all. And they don't.
They might surrender to the Saviorship, but not the Lordship.
That's right. I surrender nothing. I surrender nothing. Oh, to you, my blessed Savior, you surrender all to me. That's what we sing. That's what it is in church. And I don't people watch me, I think I'm freaking crazy. Huh? I'm just telling you, folks, there's some really, really hard stuff coming. Some really, really hard stuff. This whole Epstein stuff, if it gets revealed for what's really going on behind the scenes, do you have any idea the hell that's about to break loose? Do you have any idea the hell that will break loose if by an act of God, Hillary Clinton is charged, Bill Clinton is charged? Do you have any idea the demonic hell that's about to break loose? And some of us are still not close to the Lord. Some of you who are watching right now, you are going to be called to be a beacon of hope right where you are, and you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. We come on this show, we've been doing this thing for almost, what, 3.5 years. I couldn't do the number, over 1,000. Some of you haven't missed one show. We come in here every day and we present evidence. We open up the scripture and we leave and we're filled. And some of you still don't move beyond this initial watching the show. Others are, man, you're out there. I think of OJ. Gee, Manny Carmi, OJ. Yeah, he's raising Cain for the Lord. I think of Bob Evans and Tammy. They're raising Cain for the Lord. Buying t-shirts and spreading t-shirts. Some of you won't even put on a cross hat. Not the cross hat is it, but folks, we got to bone up here, man. We got to get into the weight room. We have to up our ante. We have to up our game because there are things coming. The Bible tells us, I'm not a doomer gloomer. You know that if you guys know that, but there are things coming that are going to be beyond what we can even imagine. We can even imagine. Can you imagine America if a financial collapse hits? A financial collapse? What? Yeah. Can you imagine if the pensions stop? Can you imagine that? Pensioners go broke. Cities can't pay. Man, we got to bone up, baby. I got to get under that bench press and we got to start benching spiritually because we got us a war we're in the midst of. God bless you. Catch you tomorrow.